Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Hi, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Optimize My Life Radio. Today's show is Knowing Kindness. And today we're going to talk about procrastination. And overextending yourself. And reasons for procrastination and why we put things off the way we do. But also ways to eliminate it or improve on it. So we're getting things we need done, but we're not overextending ourselves and doing everything. All right, give me one quick second. I'm having a slight issue here. All right, procrastination. Let's talk about it. All right, sorry about that. Procrastination. It is all about delaying or postponing tasks or actions. And it's at times can be to the point that you never do it. Procrastination is extremely common. Everybody does it, but to the extreme is where it starts to come and have negative consequences. There are a lot of reasons for procrastination. And the most common one is just a simple lack of motivation. Not something you really want to do. Another reason for procrastination is fear. Either it being fear of failure, fear to succeed. And in my household, procrastination is caused a lot in our house by distractions. Things come up. Kids get, you know, something going on or something, you just forget. Difficulty in getting started is another big factor. Big projects, how do you start it? What do you do? What are you going to do? And you tend to put it off instead of actually just getting started. You know, I say a lot, a quote from Do the Damn Thing Nation, Tiffany Largie, and when Matt was here the other week, is fear hates movement. It's the same thing with procrastination. Just little steps, any step in that right direction. Other causes of procrastination can be symptoms of an underlying issue. Anxiety, depression, ADHD, ADD. You know, procrastination in any form can have negative effects. You know, on your productivity, what you're getting done in a day, at work and at home. time you spend with your family, your mental health, and just your overall health and well-being. You know, you, with procrastination, you tend to get increased stress, low performance. You miss deadlines. You, with increased stress comes health problems. You know, there's so many ways of dealing with procrastination. The first step to dealing with procrastination is figuring out why, what causes. And we talk a lot about the what question and the why question. The what question is, with procrastination, other things, it is crucial to not only ask the what question, what is going on, but why question. You know, what gives you the more logical approach to things? The what question is what gives you the more solid ground for why something's happening, why you're, what's going on to cause this. It's the cause and effect. But with procrastination, it's not just a cause and effect. It's also an emotional issue. So you want to get to the bottom of it, so you don't want to do something. So you're asking yourself, for instance, you know what? I really don't want to clean my house. And, you know, for me, we'll give this as an example. So cleaning my house. When I got out of the military, I was a clean freak. To the point, toothbrushes, corners, spick and span. Everything had a place. Everything was dusted and cleaned every day. Then came kids. Then came special kids. And here came kids that are a walking disaster and are very creative. So there's always a mess. And then you come add two dogs. There adds more to the mess. And you have a husband who works construction. There adds another mess. And so for an example to understand this, so why I fall behind doing laundry, why I don't clean my house as much as I should, want, it's not so much that I should because my house is clean, but to the standard that I normally would consider a clean house. Now, looking at the kids and all them, those are excuses on why I don't want to do it. That's part of the reason, a small part of that reason. You're looking at all these different reasons or excuses. That's part of it. Now let's look at the other causes. I work from home. I run a radio show. I've got two special needs kids that are schooled at home through the computer system. I have a lot going on. So part of it is I'm overwhelmed. So you see, as you're breaking these reasons down, it helps you figure out why you're not, why it gets delayed, why things aren't happening the way they are. And so as you're breaking these steps down, you're looking at this. you're trying to figure out how to fix it. Doubt even further. So I'm overwhelmed. I've got a lot going on. To me, cleaning the house isn't a priority anymore. So as you're breaking everything down and finding the reasons why it's causing it, now is where we take the steps to eliminate it, to make it better. The first step is changing the way you talk. When you get a task or you get something you're going to do, first thing is, instead of saying it, oh, I'm going to do this tomorrow, or I'm going to do this later. All right. You take that and you put it on a calendar. You start a task list of when you want to start it or when you want need it completed. Or just saying flat out, all right, tomorrow we're cleaning the house. First thing we do when we get up, we're cleaning this house. Another thing to do with procrastination, especially with its bigger things, is breaking everything down, making lists. And as you're making these lists, you can break them down in different categories, put them in different timelines, adding them to your schedules or calendars, or write them on your dry erase board so you can see it and mark it off. Having it on something that you can check off physically, either it's on your phone, on a piece of paper, somewhere where it's visible for you to see it on a regular basis, and being able to physically check it off or cross it off is the best way to start the process. You set your deadline. Don't multitask, which is very hard to do in this day and age because we're always doing a million different things at once. But set time to just do that project or do that one thing you need to get done. And this works for kids too. You know, in our house, we have whiteboards put up in our living room or our dining room. It's like my central hub for communication for everything. And then we have charts. And then their bedrooms is a chart that I set up the night before for the following day when they get up. And that's what they need to accomplish that day. And then when you go in the living room, each person in the family has their own dry erase board. And their to-do stuff is on there. And with, like, my daughter, for instance, she needs more holding hands for doing things. It's broken down more by, all right, in the morning you do this, and this needs to be done. Lunchtime, this needs to be done. Bedtime, this needs to be done. Including schoolwork, feeding the animals, things like that. So it breaks everything down for them and for me to know what needs to be done. Being realistic about time. We when you're making these lists and breaking them down, and if you have to break them down by the hour or half hour, do it. Some of us, me included, need that structure. You just give me an empty slot, I tend to waste it. But when you're filling out these lists, be realistic about time. So you're not setting yourself up for failure. You know, if cleaning your room usually takes you an hour, put down an hour and 20 minutes. It gives you a little break time or a little free time in between. It gives you that time not to feel rushed and get it done before your next needs to be done. When you look at things and you think it ends up taking less time or more time than what you thought it took, that's where you're setting yourself up for failure and where you start having issues. And you start losing your motivation because of the fact that things are taking longer than what you thought.
Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I just dusted, so I have my allergies kicked in, so I was sneezing. We're talking about procrastination and how to make lists and set things up so that you're not putting things aside all the time. You're not getting overwhelmed by everything when you got a million things, especially when you got a family, and you know well about this. Having a family working and, you know, managing the world at the same time gets overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I have a tendency to procrastinate sometimes, and I'll admit that to anybody. But I, like you say, you get overwhelmed sometimes with so much on your plate. And Joel Griffin used to always tell us that he'd have at least 20 items every day that he was going to have to deal with. And so I know exactly how that is, trying to run four different businesses and getting ready to start up a new business. And with all the family issues going on all the time, it is overwhelming sometimes. And you just kind of say, okay, I'm going to take a break and just sit back and relax. And that usually helps me when I do that. I have a cup of tea and just kind of relax for a few minutes, and then get back into it. This morning I got hit with four or five items, and it's changed my whole schedule for the day. Four or five items that I had to deal with, and I had to deal with immediately. And there is, I guess, a difference between procrastination and actually things that get in your way to get the things done that you want to get done. You know what I mean?
Correct, but when things start getting in your way, you tend to procrastinate other things because you get overwhelmed with everything going on.
Right.
And it's
why do today what I can put off till tomorrow, right?
Exactly. You know, and for me, the example I gave was cleaning my house. You know, my house is clean, but you know, when I got out of the military, I still had that mindset. You know, everything metal was shiny, toothbrush in the corners, you know, no spot of dust, glass was perfect, you know. And once the kids came and then the husband and the construction came and the dogs came, I was like, I really don't like cleaning anymore. Because once you clean one spot, you turn around and, you know, start another one, the first spot's already a disaster.
Yep.
So, you know, it just becomes a lot. And it's your least favorite thing to do.
Yeah, it's the other thing that I guess relates to that is an old saying that the job expands to the time allotted for it. And sometimes we maybe try to work too hard and getting every I dotted and every T crossed and to get something done. And we take too long in doing that. And I found that if I have something that I had to get done urgently, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to allow 30 minutes to do that, or I'm going to allow an hour or whatever, and that's it. When that hour's done, I'm done with that. And so that helps me to move through things that I maybe would procrastinate on if I was taking too much time to do it, you know.
And that's the one thing we started talking about when you came right before you came on was setting a realistic time period for getting the task done. Because some of us who don't like to do things do it your way, but we set an unreasonable amount of time, and so we don't get it done.
Yeah.
So we just stop what we're doing on that. My daughter is famous for this one. Well, Mom, you said I only had to clean my room for a half an hour, so her room's half clean. Because she drags out the clock. And so, you know, setting a reasonable time and a reasonable goal to, and then moving on to the next project to get everything done that you need to get done.
Right. And it does... I was like last night. Yesterday I was doing some work on the computer, and something that I had to get done by midnight. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to be working on this late, and I may not get done until midnight, but I have to get it done by midnight. And she kind of looked at me funny, like I was going to be working on a computer for hours to get that done by midnight. And I said, well, it's something that's got to be done, you know. And so she said, okay, I'm going to bed.
You know, it's like tax season. It's like tax season. Everybody, you either get them done at the end of the year, the minute you get your paperwork in, you know, or you wait till the last minute and you scramble all day, day before to get it done.
Yeah, and things just kept getting in the way during the day I couldn't get working on that project that I had to have done by midnight, and so I just said, "Look, I'm done with all the other stuff. I just need to get this done by midnight." So I got it done, and it was about 11:30. I got it all done
with a little breathing room to spare.
Yeah. But I have always worked on I mean when I made up my mind I was going to do something and have it done by a certain time, I put a time limit on it, and it seems like I tend to get things done faster if I do it that way, rather than letting minor things get in the way of getting that done.
It's your little kick in the pants to keep it going. You know, it's like when we're kids and our parents would always write us, get it done, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yeah.
Get ready to go. Yeah. And I'm guilty of that some days. Some days my daughter's the creative one, and it takes her forever to do anything or get anything done or even just get dressed to get her shoes on to get out the door. It's like, come on, let's go.
Right. Like yesterday, we got hit with that snowstorm. That was another obstacle that was causing me problems. So, because I do the shoveling of the snow around the sidewalks and the porch and clean off the car and all those kinds of things when we have snow. I enjoy doing that. It's something that I have always done, and I get a kick out of it because I'm still able to do it at my age, you know.
Right? There's not very many people at your age that say they can still do it and not be winded and, you know, exhausted by the time they're done.
I'm
fortunate enough that I don't know who it is, but we have some good Samaritan that drives by. And if our driveway is not shoveled, he'll go and plow it out for us.
I'm sorry, what?
The guy that plows our driveway, no idea who he is. We don't pay him or anything, never asked him to. He just always, when he's out plowing out driveways, he always hits our driveway.
Yeah. A few years ago, I lived out in a really remote area in a farmhouse. There was three of us living. There was four of us. Then one moved out. But a snowstorm.
Okay.
Whenever a snowstorm would hit out there, we all four of us got out there, digging our way out because.
Sorry.
That's okay, Mary. But we got hit with this one year. We got hit with a big snowstorm. We had about, I know for where you live, it's probably not considered big, but we had about 2 foot of snow. And we were all four of us out there shoveling the sidewalks. We had a long hill sidewalk that we had to clean off. And then we that would allow us to get to where the cars were parked. And a parking area where we could park four cars. And then we were all digging out the cars. And then the highway department would come through and plow out the area.
Rebury your driveway and sidewalks all over again, right?
And they would cover up our cars again, you know. So, it was kind of frustrating to get that done.
Yeah, last week's snowstorm we had here was like that.
So how's the family doing today?
Good. We call it they drank the Kool-Aid. By that, I mean they're just goofy.
Oh, yeah?
And just happy and laughing and running around and just, yeah.
That's great. That's great.
It's a good day today for the most part. We struggle with procrastination a lot in our house, but at the same time, like with my son, he is one of those, a little bit of information is not always a good thing.
Yeah. Do you homeschool your daughter?
Sort of. It's a charter school online, and we're actually switching schools this year. Next year, she's going to a different school just because she's not grasping and understanding the stuff. But we get the curriculum. She's got some live classes, and she gets a lot of support. But how we teach it, it's up to us. And like with basic concepts she struggles with. So, like, she's in third grade, and she has a hard time counting consecutively when there's a number missing. So she's not learning the basic foundation. So we have struggled with fighting with the school because we want to hold her back a year. And they don't want to do it because it's damaging when they're in high school. But with her birthday's in June, so she's either the youngest or the oldest. So right with the rest of the kids, no matter if she's held back or not. But I want her to learn the concepts and understand them before, so she's not always playing catch-up and then struggling all through academic life.
Yeah.
But
well, Derek was born with autism,
yep.
And he has done so many things that his family said that you'd never be able to do, and so I've been working with him to help him because he wanted to have his own business, because he was having a hard time getting jobs and keeping jobs. And he was driving a local school bus at one time, and he lost that job. And he was several jobs that I know he had that he was not, they let him go after a while. So I said, well, maybe he could handle the business if I work with him, you know. And so that's what we're doing. And he's doing it. He's learning new things every day. And he's working with people, and he's opening up to people, which is really important. And he's asking them questions, the right kinds of questions, and so forth. So
he was on the radio show this morning.
Oh, good.
And we were talking about, because our morning show is all about carbs or diabetes and healthy living. Well, I know nutrition, but I'm not an expert on diabetes. And so the lady that normally does it, she overslept. Not a big deal. But she's a certified nutritionist for diabetes, and we were talking about weight loss. And he was explaining how he wants to lose weight and how he's losing weight and stuff like that.
Yep.
But Derek, and a lot of people don't realize, part of the reason why I can do as much as I do is Derek works a lot of behind the scenes with our social media.
Yep.
Talking to people, finding out what they need help with, and connecting people with the right people with the Hope Collection. And I know we talked last night, and once we get the new website up and running and the new system up and running, he's going to help a lot with that. When you register, he'll help put you with the correct people in charge of the pillars.
Right. So that's great. That's great. We, I have not had to deal with that in my family, that situation. And I have learned from dealing with him, working with him on how to help him deal with different things that he runs into. He calls me probably four times a day, at least four times a day. And I don't mind that. It's no problem. You know, I continue to tell him, look, you got a question? You have something that's bothering you? Call me, and I'll work with you. And I appreciate what you're doing to help him also. I know you've been dealing with it in your family for years, and I'm sure you have a lot better approach to certain things that he questions and he needs help with. And so I appreciate you doing whatever you're doing with him to help him. That's great. And
the one that I've noticed, like with Derek especially, and other people with autism, is procrastination is one of the areas that they don't struggle with, because their mindset and fixate, and let's get this done. And like with Derek too, they lose their patience with us because we procrastinate. Yeah. You know, with me, he calls me a lot, and you know, which I'm not complaining about. It's just his timing is usually bad. When he's calling me, I'm either in a meeting or I'm on the phone with somebody else, and I got to, call him back, and I forget to call him back.
Almost every time I talk to him, I end the conversation. Now, Derek, remember, you have to have patience. You got to be patient. And he says, yeah, I got to be patient. So
the one thing sometimes with autism, though, and I'll give you this little pointer, because my husband struggles with this a lot, they don't understand that. When you tell them to calm down, you tell them to be patient, you have to give them a tip how to be patient. Be patient, just, take a moment and breathe, or give them some technique to calm themselves, instead of just the patients, because they don't understand what that means. So they're just going to agree and say,
I understand. I do that. I usually tell him why he has to be patient and give him an example of being patient. So
there
that's good. Yeah. I guess I'm doing the right thing.
You are. Yeah, it's, you know, my husband struggles with that a lot. Like, you know, my son will get upset, have a breakdown. And he'll tell him to calm down. So you hear my son going, calm down, calm down. And because we've taught him regulation techniques, his mantra to calm down now is calm down. But he'll use different automatic techniques, but you still got to explain, okay, take some breaths or do a distraction technique or do something to help them to calm down. And coming up on one of the shows, I'm not sure which one, coming up, and I'll post it where we do, we are going to talk about autism and how it's so diverse and different tips on sensory processing and sensory issues, which is a huge factor in autism, and different regulation techniques to help calm. And it doesn't just work for special needs. I use the regulation techniques.
Yeah, that's great.
Hi, Country. How
so,
are you?
How am I doing?
No, Country Boy just came on.
No, I'm fine. I was just listening, but you're right. But with us being in the teacher / coaching arena, one cannot do what one has not been taught. And since our brain, their brains don't function the same way as we do, I guarantee you all of us old people that's listening in, when I say old, we're talking more than teens, okay? You can Google your Google your brain, try to remember.
I'm
not feeding back.
There you go. I had to mute somebody.
Okay. Well, you can Google your brain and say, I didn't know. We can't know everything. And if somebody showed you how to walk, somebody showed you how to talk, some of us can swim. If I was to ask 10 Afro-American men that are more than 30 years of age, can they swim, 8 out of 10 of those men would tell me no. But then I would look at them kind of funny and ask them, did you realize that you swam? You was a natural, did y'all hear that word? A natural born swimmer. You swam around in your mama's belly for 9 months. So when you was born into this world, somebody might have, I'm not pointing grandmama out because grandmama always gives you good tips. Oak man, you stay away from that water. You might fall in and drown. Now, Oak man is 40-something years of age and can't swim because his grandmama told him, you go near that water, you'll drown, boy. So, see, he knew, he didn't know he could swim. So if I didn't know I could swim either until they threw me off the bridge into the Chattahoochee River and say, swim or drown.
Right. Yeah, that's the old school way of teaching you how to swim.
Don't throw your kids overboard. Listen. You have to be able to, like this Mary and Old Man was just examples for you. You have to be able to give them something that they can do. I have some grown people, all the names have been changed to protect the guilty and the innocent, that will do absolutely nothing unless you tell them specifically, this is what I need for you to do next. Don't worry about that part. We're not there yet. This is what I need for you to do today. Last little cliff note. Most people in America, we're talking full-grown people now. This is my last little mark. Most people in America don't realize that they have a disease, and you can have the disease, and it can't be detected on an X-ray. Can't even tell it when your heart, listen to your heartbeat and take your blood pressure. You can be living in the house with somebody, and they can have this disease, and they not even know they had it. You can sleep right next to a person that has procrastination, a disease called procrastination that they don't even know that they have. They told us never put off tomorrow what you can do today. Example, friend of mine, 2 years back, all the names have been changed, protected. She's been saying, okay, my job laid me off. I can't find no work. Stop saying that. You're never going to find work if you tell yourself, I can't find nothing. I can't find nothing. I can't find. So as a man thinketh, so is he. If you say you can, you can. If you say you can't, you can't. I said, okay,
right.
You got to make a change. Oh, I forgot. The world ain't going to get no better. If you want to make a change, Michael Jackson said, take a look at the man and woman in the mirror if you want to make the world change. So I'm telling you, you have a serious problem that we got to grow you out of. I think you're stuck. Let's meet soon as possible. How soon can you meet with me? She said, Saturday would be good. I said, okay, you're about 30 miles from me. You don't have to drive to where I am. I'll come to where you are, and we can just meet at, y'all know Starbucks, the international meeting place was right around the corner, actually right across the street, about 50 yards from where she lived. Fast forward. I got there about 11:45. We're supposed to have been meeting at noon. I called her when I got there and says, I'm here. She didn't answer. I figured she might be driving. It got to be 12 o'clock. I text her and said, I'm here. Are you on your way? No response. By 12:15, I called her again. No answer. 12:30, I call again. I'm getting concerned now. I'm not worrying. I'm not born with a spirit of fear. I'm concerned. I'm not worried. But I'm thinking, wow, I've been here almost over an hour now. I guess I better move on, and maybe she'll call me later. They used to tell me no news is good news. I didn't hear from her, but I knew not something bad must have happened. Something good, better than me, must have happened to her. So I called her. Oh, I forgot to tell you. It was around December the 27th of that year, 2 years ago. And then when I called her, it was Sunday. And then I called her, it was Monday. And then I didn't hear from her on Tuesday, and she called me on Wednesday of the following week. But what she didn't realize is we was in December when we were supposed to meet that week. And then we looked around. It wasn't that week. It was next month. Oh, I forgot to tell you, after December comes January. January was another year. What she
that
put
sounds
on
like
that
something
day
I would do.
Into a week was turned into a month. It turned up being in next year, procrastination, and she didn't even know. Never put off tomorrow what you can do today. We're living for today because we're not promised tomorrow. If you want a better life, it starts with today.
Today. Yep.
Speaking of procrastination and putting off, Country Boy, did you get your car yet?
Did I get? I actually am here sitting waiting. I'm sitting on the wall now waiting. So hopefully I have good news in another hour or so. Somebody stole my car, y'all, out of the yard.
Oh. It just it fit with the subject at the moment.
You didn't get the good part about that. They said, I'm going to give you back everything the devil took from you. One of them little three devils went and stole my car out of the yard on video. They gave it back to me.
Listen, Mary and Country Boy, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you so much. And but I am going to drop off because I have a luncheon date with an angel, my wonderful wife. So I've got to get going. So
Have
a good day,
you
guys, and thank you.
Yes, sir, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Talk to you tomorrow. Bob is the host of the Thursday show at noon. He talks about family and faith. We do.
And we're talking, he has a family day. Is he only has 8 kids and 30-something grandkids.
And
you think he knows anything about family?
Right? Oh, it's one of those days.
But what we want people to understand is if you think that you can do everything that the divine creator told you to do by yourself, then he didn't tell it to you. Because what he's speaking to his people nowadays, first of all and foremost, it's not about you. It's got to be about something that's bigger than you. it truly is a blessing to be a blessing. We're kind of like in each one, teach one mode. The Hope Foundation has no hidden agenda or has no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you in any of the areas of your life that you need to be blessed in. Again, it's not what you know. It's who you know. Jewel Griffin, the founder of the show, he decided years ago that he was since he was traveling around the world, and that's why we're connected to about 70-plus countries nowadays. But I call everybody that I'm talking to our super friends. Because, see, what happened in the process is the divine creator. That's who I call him. You can call him whatever you want to call him as long as you call him. The divine creator designed us in his own image. So regarding what they call you or regardless of what they say about you, you're designed in his own image and you are a personal representative of the person that you said created you. Now, if it's a blessing to be a blessing, again, we could all bless ourselves and we wouldn't need each other. So what we're doing is we're calling everybody out. I call them super friends. We're super friendly. We're super kind, but we all work together to help bless humankind. We've been able to take the best of the best from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and we allow every single person to come forth and love their very, very best. And we're going to surround yourself with people that have knowledge and expertise in areas that you do not. I know how to change my own oil, but I got a mechanic that charges me $14.95 to change my oil and saves me about an hour and a half of my time. So we want to make sure that whatever you do, just connect to us. We've been doing this for about 14 years, and Mary's now connected us to every social media platform on the planet. We serve up for Hope for lunch. We have a whole smorgasbord of information. It tastes great. And it's spiritually fulfilling, and you can take as much hope as you need in the areas that you need, and then we ask you to simply pay it forward by just doing unto others before they do unto you, because when you give some love and hope and kindness, eventually it will come back to you, even if it does not come from the person that originated it from. So it doesn't matter whether you was born on the wrong side of the tracks. We got some sources that can help get you right back. If Ron Clayton, our new president, he said, tell them, country boy, we don't really care if you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail. Everybody has something that they can do better than anybody in the world. That's what your God-given purpose is, and we want you to walk into your purpose and be the best you. Yeah. You can't be nobody else, not the name brand. You're not Nike. You're not Reebok. You're not your clothes. You're not, India already says, I'm not my hair. I don't even have no hair. So I'm not my hair. Be just bold enough and courageous enough to stand up and speak out. You don't even have to scream. You don't have to shout. You just have to courageously stand up and speak out. We already know that abuse and bullying is not good. It never was good, and it's never going to be good. So it's time for us to make it stop. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. It starts with you, Mary, and it starts with me. We're talking to you now. We want you to come forth and do whatever you do. Do it at your best. We'll be able to do extraordinary things on ordinary days by passing love, hope, and kindness somebody else's way. So before I go, I want you guys to understand we work with children, special children. I always wondered when we get ready to go to war, why do they call them special forces? They sent your kids off to fight. Now it's time for us to fight for the ones that we sent over there to fight. A lot of the veterans and first responders, like Mary, a veteran, who fought over there, and now has came back home to fight another fight against autism, to fight another fight against bullying. We getting ready to fight. You can't do it and kill it with bullying. You can't kill bullying with bullying. We want to rise you up. We want to show you how to be the best you that you can be. And if you are the best you you can be, then you'll have a lot more respect on the people that you surround yourself with. Life is nothing but a series of choices that we make. So choose. I said choose this day who you with. Are you going to be with the evil? Are you going to be with the bullying? Are you going to be with us with hope, love, and kindness? To be or not to be, are you to be a blessing to somebody?
That's so true. And that's a perfect ending since we're almost out of time for today. Thank you for joining us. Today we talked about procrastination and talked about how to overcome it. You know, if it's setting a schedule, if it's allowing yourself more time, if it's just saying no to certain things because so many things come at you at once, and prioritizing, making lists, having charts. There's so many ways to combat it, and the first step is the word you use. Instead of saying, oh, we'll do this tomorrow, or we'll, and using those words of, oh, we're going to do this, it's not we're going to, it's we're doing this. Join us tomorrow at noon Eastern, Family Time with Bob Oakley. And Friday, as always, is our special guest at noon Eastern, Captain Len Kane. Thank you for joining us. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day and bye for now.
Thanks, Mary. Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye.